Amen. The part of the chapter we're going to focus on is found in Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse number 14, where the Bible reads here that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And before I get into the message, first and foremost, I want to thank Pastor Jimenez for allowing me to come here. And it's a blessing to have been here the last couple of days filming the secret project that we're working on. And by the way, if you know what that project is, don't tell anybody. Don't put it on Facebook. Don't put it on Instagram. We're trying to keep it a secret, all right? And so, but I'm thankful for the opportunity to be here. I'm thankful that my friend Ringo, Pastor Ringo, could join me. And it's a blessing to be here in a church that's like-minded. And so we're just going to get into the message real quick. The title of my sermon this evening is Winds of Doctrine. Winds of Doctrine. Now, when the Bible says winds of doctrine, what is it referring to? Well, often God will use aspects of nature or natural elements to illustrate a spiritual truth, right? And we see here that he says that that we be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. Why does he say that? Well, simply for the fact that obviously we know that he's referring to false doctrine, okay? And why does he reference it, or why does he compare it to wind? Well, I would say first and foremost, because wind is an invisible element that comes and goes, okay? It comes and it goes. And you say, well, how would you apply that to false doctrine? Well, a lot of false doctrine that's out there are teachings that come and go, okay? Now, we obviously understand that, you know, nothing is new under the sun, and you may have heard of a new doctrine that someone came out with, but I guarantee you that decades ago or hundreds of years ago, there is a form of that false doctrine already prevalent in this world, all right? Now, you think of like the flat earthers, right? That's a trendy doctrine. That is a wind of doctrine. You think of oneness. You say, hasn't that been around for a while? Yeah, it has come and it has gone, and guess what? It's come back again. You think of a false doctrine like the Israel United in Christ. I don't know if you guys get those over here, but we have tons of those in LA. That's a doctrine that's like wind that comes and it goes. These are all what we would call trendy doctrines. And we as Christians need to be mature. We need to be reading the Bible. We need to compare scripture with scripture. We need to prove all things, hold fast that which is good, so that when a false doctrine comes, it's a wind of doctrine. We're not carried about like children everywhere. You know, I'm sure you've met people and you've had people in your life that you thought were firm in the faith until some false doctrine came and carried them away. Well, that just shows that they're children, okay? And we ought not to be children. Go with me, if you would, to Jude verse 4. So the Bible commands us and says, hey, be no more children. And you know the problem we have in churches today? We have too many children in church. Now, I'm not talking about the physical children. That's a good problem to have, amen? When it's just overflowing, there's children everywhere. I'm talking about spiritually speaking, there's too many just immature Christians that are not willing to grow. They're YouTube Christians is what they are, okay? All they do is just listen to the sermons on YouTube. You know, they listen to Pastor Anderson and Pastor Jimenez, and that's where they get their supplements from. But you know what? They don't spend time in the Bible actually proving these things to see if these things are so. You know, we need Christians who are willing to grow up, mature in the Lord, know what the Bible says, just get grounded in the Word of God and not be carried about with every wind of doctrine. So we see here that he compares it to wind because it comes and it goes, and often false doctrine just creeps in, doesn't it? You know, it goes unnoticed, right? Look what Jude 4 says, for there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So the Bible specifically tells us that these men creep in unawares. You don't see it. You don't really notice it at first hand. It comes under the radar. But you know when you actually notice it is that when it begins to catch momentum. Okay, just like wind. But not only that, wind is an element that moves objects, right? It has the capacity, has the potential to move small objects, big objects, whatever it is. Well, that's why the Bible says that these people are carried away with every wind of doctrine. You know, if a new doctrine comes up and then you begin to question what you believe is right or not, and it's not founded in the Word of God, you're a child in Christ. You're still a babe. Why? Because you're moved, okay? Go with me if you would to Galatians chapter number 1. I'm going to read to you from Colossians chapter number 1. Go with me if you would to Galatians 1. Colossians 1 verse 23 says, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature, which is under heaven, wherefore I, Paul, am made a minister. You know, the Bible says, you know, to meddle not with those that are given to change. We ought to stay away from people that are constantly changing their doctrines, constantly changing their beliefs. And I'm not talking about, you know, you used to believe in the pre-trib doctrine, but now you're post-trib. You know, obviously that's a correct change that you need to make. I'm not saying you used to believe in Zionism, that the Jews were God's chosen people, and now you know you obviously believe that God's people, which are Christians, are God's chosen people. That's a correct change. We ought to change for the better. I'm talking about doctrines that you can't even find in the Bible. And just because someone makes a good argument or they sound very eloquent with enticing words, you're like, man, maybe this guy has a point. No, he doesn't have a point. Okay? Don't be carried about with every wind of doctrine. Galatians 1:6 says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Go to James chapter number 1. James chapter number 1. So false doctrine moves people. If you're not grounded, if you're not constantly in the Word of God, if you're just spiritually gullible, you believe everything you hear, you're going to be moved. You know, and I would hope that the people who are in this room tonight, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, you won't be moved. You know, if some doctrine tries to creep into the church, which the Bible tells us, they, you know, men will creep in unawares. These people will come in. You know, I hope that you wouldn't be one of those people who would follow these fools into their false doctrine. You know, may you say, you know, I know what the Bible says. I'm not going to change what I believe. It doesn't matter how enticing that prophet or that pastor or whoever that is sounds, I'm not going to believe it. Look what James chapter 1 and verse number 5 says. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So the Bible's telling us here, if you're one of those people that's constantly moving about and changing your beliefs, you're double-minded. Because on Sunday, you're with the pastor on everything that he's saying, but on Monday, you're changing your beliefs because you looked up something on YouTube. Okay? You shouldn't be moved about. You shouldn't be double-minded. You should know what you believe and stick with that. All right? Stick with what the Bible says. Go to Matthew chapter number 7. Matthew chapter number 7. The Bible says in verse number 24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. You know, we often think, you know, aren't winds like trials and tribulations? Yeah, I believe it's trials and tribulations. But you know what it is, too? It's false doctrine. Okay, winds that come about, things that can potentially move us. And the Bible says if we're founded upon the rock, we're not going to move. Amen. You know, if you're founded upon the King James Bible and you're reading your Bible constantly and you're not just believing everything you hear, you won't be moved. Now, go with me, if you would, to Hosea chapter number 8. But not only that, winds can often be a sign that something bigger is coming. A bigger storm is coming, right? And look, you know, you think of the oneness, which obviously we've heard a lot of preaching on oneness as of recently. But, you know, 11 years ago, when I first got saved 11 years ago, you know, it'd be funny to think that any Baptist would get fooled with oneness. You know, we always refer to that as just the, you know, the Jesus only movement, the hippie movement. You know, that's what I used to think it was. And we wouldn't think, you know, would that creep into the church? Well, into churches? Absolutely it would creep in if we don't do our part to make sure that we're proving these doctrines when they come in. But look what the Bible says in Hosea chapter number 8, verse number 7. It says, for they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. It hath no stalk, the bud shall yield no meal. If so be it yield, the stranger shall swallow it up. So you know what we have today is a lot of churches that maybe have a pastor who is sincere, he loves the Lord, but because he doesn't check the doctrines in the church, you know what happens? Something creeps in and aware, and he's sowing a wind, but you know what he's going to reap? He's going to reap the whirlwind. He's going to get a bigger problem than we thought he was. And I've heard this multiple times in the old IFB church, because I came from one, where it's just like, you know, yeah, he's a little off on repentance. You know, he's a little off on this, but he's still a good guy. Well, you know what the problem is that eventually that's going to become a huge problem in your church. Okay, because in a generation from there, they're going to be preaching a false gospel. And what's going to happen is you're going to have a church full of unsaved people, which obviously won't make it a real church, right? But they reap the whirlwind. Now, go to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. You say, what does this have to do with discipleship? When we think of this concept of every wind of doctrine, I mean, you can basically go any direction with this in regards to false doctrine, right? You can go up and talk about like we mentioned, oneness. You can talk about repentance. You can talk about all kinds of things. But I want to talk about this matter of discipleship, okay? You say, is that a false doctrine? No, it's not a false doctrine, but there is a modern way of discipleship that's not biblical. There is a modern form of discipleship that's not in the Bible. You say, well, where is it from? From liberals. It's from people who are unsaved, who don't use a King James Bible, who get their theology and their practices from secular people, and they apply it to their own church. That's not right. You say, well, you know, they have good methodologies, but you know what? If it's an unsaved person, you using an ESV, it's not right. And you're going to produce something bad if you follow that methodology. And so, and by the way, let me just go on and say that I'm for discipleship, okay? Look what the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2 and verse number 7, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. I mean, I believe that Paul the Apostle believed in discipleship. He says, I wasn't only willing to get you saved. I wanted to give you my life. I wanted to give you my soul, my time, my resources. And may I say that every single person in this room ought to have a desire to produce yourself in someone else, okay? You ought to bring someone under your leadership, your influence. And look, when you come to church, it's not all about you. You know, I'm sorry if that offends you, but that's fact. I know we got burdens. I know we got problems. But the best way to take care of your problems, the best way to get rid of your burdens is just go focus on someone else. And the reason you're depressed, the reason you're discouraged, is because all you think about is you. But you know what? When you get your eyes off of you and you stop focusing on your problems, you start realizing there's people in this church that have bigger problems than you, and you go help them and be a blessing to them, you know, a lot of the times God just alleviates those burdens in your personal life. But often, what do we find? Christians just, they want to come, they want to be fed, and they want to be blessed, but they don't want to do the blessing. You know, God has given you much, you're saved, you have a great church, a great pastor. Why don't you try to bless someone else? You say, man, Brother Bruce, you know, you don't understand my story. You know what? Everyone has a story. Everyone has a problem. We all got issues. You know, whether it's debt, it's this, it's bills, it's health reasons. But the problems are not going to stop just because you think you have problems. You know, you saying you have problems doesn't make the problems go away. You get what I'm saying? You know, they just basically magnify your problems even more. You know, but what every Christian needs to do is just say, you know what, I got problems and I'm going to have problems to the day that I die. So why don't I just go ahead and just help someone out with their problems? Stop being selfish. Okay? And that's what Paul's saying. Look, and look, Paul the Apostle had problems. He had some issues in his life, right? But yet even he said, I was not only willing to give you the gospel of God only, but also our own souls in the midst of his problems. I mean, he's writing to the Christians while he's in jail. You know, if anything, they should be writing to him. But you know what he's doing? He's writing to them, encouraging them, and helping them to go forward for the Lord. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. So the Apostle Paul was a man who invested much in those whom he led. Okay, you say, well, I'm not the pastor. Well, you know, you don't have to be the pastor to be a blessing to someone else and to disciple someone else, okay? You don't need a title to be a blessing to someone else. You don't need a leadership position to bless someone else. You can just be you and use the knowledge that God has given to you and your resources, and you can help someone else. 2 Corinthians 12:15 says, and I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved, the Bible says. So we could obviously see through many portions of Scripture, and I have a lot of them here, but we're not going to go through all of them for the sake of time. We can see the Apostle Paul had a heart for people, not just to see them saved, and that's the most important aspect of this, but he had a heart to see people grow in the Lord, go forward for God. I mean, one of the most heartbreaking things in my personal life is to invest in someone or see someone get saved, and then what happens? A trial comes or a false doctrine comes, and what happens? They get away from the Lord. They get out of church. They stop reading their Bibles. That's heartbreaking. You know, you say, well, how do we avoid that? By developing relationships, okay? And that's important, all right? Now go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. So we as Christians do need to learn this matter of discipleship and investing in others. You know, taking someone out to eat, taking someone to go drink a coffee. Like, oh, brother, you know, the Christian life is all about, you know, just being serious, and we can't have any fun, and we shouldn't be doing this. These people should come to church because they ought to come to church. Yeah, you're absolutely right, but you know what helps them to just stay in church is you. Okay? You know, Pastor Jimenez is going to preach on reprobates, and he's going to say the word faggot one day, and that brand new visitor is going to be like, I can't believe he just said that. You know, it'll help if you just say, hey, faggot, it's an okay word. Don't let it freak you out. You know, Yeah, but he said he's a beast and he's a dog. Yeah, let me show you in the Bible what the Bible says. Because the Bible actually says that. Wow, I didn't see that. Yeah, it's no big deal. You know, it's a proper term for these disgusting perverts. You know, and help them to come along in that area. But you know what? Because you just sit there, you don't say anything, then these people are like, man, I'm never coming back here. That was weird, you know. But when they have a mature Christian helping them along and teaching them, hey, this isn't weird. This is biblical. You know, you need your mind to be renewed. You need a spiritual brainwashing, you know, of these terms and biblical words that we see here. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 says, wherefore I beseech you, be followers of me. Paul the Apostle said himself, you should be a follower of me. And you know what we have today? We have a bunch of Christians who don't want to follow anybody. You know, they don't want to be under the pastor's authority. They don't want to be under a church authority. They just want to have house church, right? And even within our movement, and thank God for YouTube, but you know what? We have too many people sitting at home watching YouTube thinking that they're in church. That's not church. By the way, thank God for YouTube. All right, I thank the Lord that we have that resource. But you know what? That's not the only thing. We need to be in church. Amen. Okay? And if you're sick and you have the flu, stay home and watch the sermon on YouTube. But you know what? Most of these people, they're not sick. Okay? They're just lazy is what they are. The Bible says to forsake not the assembling of the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. You know, and they're all for the battle. They're all for seeing. They didn't want to root us on as we fight the battle behind the pulpit, but they don't want to show up to church. That's not going to help them. No, you need to follow someone, okay? And that's part of discipleship. 1 Corinthians 11, 1, you don't have to turn there. The Bible says, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. So we see that discipleship is a biblical concept, okay? Go to 2 Peter chapter number 2. It's biblical, you know? I've practiced discipleship since I learned about it, since I saw it in the Bible, since I was encouraged to do it, and it's produced a lot of fruit. In fact, it produces? It produces people, loyal followers of the Lord, but just loyal friends. You know, good people who I would consider to be my friends, they're probably watching on the live stream right now. You know, these are people who have actually been kicked out of their own church because of me. I've had people being kicked out of Bible colleges because of me, been kicked out of churches because of me, Christian school because of me. I mean, I'm not for Christian school at all, but they're in the Christian school listening to me, and they got... Someone found out that they're listening to Brother Bruce and they booted him out of the Christian school. But you know what? They were willing to say, you know what? I'm not going to back down on these beliefs. I agree with Brother Mejia. I agree with what he's saying. And it'll be wrong for me to slander him behind his back. I believe what he's saying. If this is what you want to do, then that's fine. But you know what? That comes as you disciple people, as you spend time with them. Okay? So you have more than just this surface relationship where you just say hi and bye and God bless you on Sunday morning. This is something that takes place throughout the week. Okay? But look at what 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 1 says. But there are false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Go to Acts chapter number 20. So the Bible's telling us there that there will be false teachers among us. Okay? And in a church setting, that's true, but just in general, okay, especially now with the internet and all the resources that we have, there's false teachers all over the place spreading their garbage, okay? And often they come under the guise of being an independent fundamental Baptist. Look what Acts chapter 20, verse 28 says. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. So the Bible says here that these false teachers and these false prophets, they're going to deceive disciples. They're going to deceive God's people. Okay? These are saved people. Now, my personal belief is that even if someone's deceived, eventually they'll come out of that if they're really saved. Okay? You say, why is that? Because if they're saved, they got the Holy Spirit of God living within them. And they're not going to follow the voice of a stranger. I believe they can be deceived for a while, but you know what? Eventually, someone will bring them the truth, or they'll hear a sermon, they'll hear some sort of biblical concept, and they have a choice right then and there to know, hey, this isn't right. I need to switch. Okay, I need to change my direction. So it says here that they will draw disciples after them. Now, I believe this rings true in this matter of discipleship. You say, why is that? Because today we have this modern form of discipleship that you will not find in the Bible, okay? I'm talking about the cell groups that are out there, you know, meeting in these small groups that meet at a coffee shop for 4 hours, and they just shoot the breeze. They don't teach any doctrine, and that's all they do, okay? And they say, we're doing discipleship, bro. I'm a follower of Christ, bro. No, you're not. You know, these guys want to call themselves followers of Christ on Instagram and show their little thing that I'm a follower of Jesus, but they don't even win souls. And the Bible tells us that if you're a follower of Christ, you'll be a fisher of men. Amen. Do you know what that tells me? If you're not fishing for men, you're not following Christ. Doesn't matter how many times you put it on Instagram. Okay? You can put it on your description, on your bio. You can say whatever you want, but if you're not winning people to Christ, if you're not preaching the gospel, you're not a follower of Christ. But this modern form of discipleship has these cool little terms that they throw out there, that they're followers of Christ. We're into discipleship. We're not into like soul winning where they're just banging on someone's door. But you know what? That's Bible. But here's the problem. These guys who have taught these concepts, these are the heretics. Okay? They come under the guise of being Baptist, and they say they're KJV only. They use terminology that we use for what? Because they want to bring in these heretical teachings and methodologies that eventually will get God's people out of what's biblical. Okay? Now, you say, man, is it really that big of a deal? You know, is this really that big of a deal? You're making such a big stink about this matter of discipleship. Is it really? By the way, in the leadership class that I taught yesterday, you know, I was giving some tips on how to disciple. I'm not going to do that today. I'm just going to tell you how not to do it first here tonight, all right? I'm going to tell you what's not discipleship. You say, well, do you even have any experience about this? There's a couple years ago that I went on a book, discipleship book binge, okay? I was going to an old IFB church, and I was reading discipleship books like left and right, all right? And by the way, let me just tell you where these heresies start to creep in is when we begin to read books by people who are not Baptist and they're not saved, okay? That's where it starts. I've seen it firsthand in old IFB churches. And the church that booted me out, I saw that over there all the time, where they start to emphasize books more than the Bible itself. You know, that's not right. But here we see that they begin to bring in these damnable heresies. You say, well, what's the first problem that they have? Well, the first problem is that they use different versions of the Bible. And I remember I would read these books, and I would say, man, that's a good concept, but it just bothers me that they're using the ESV, or it bothers me that they use the NIV. Well, newsflash, there's a reason they're using those versions of the Bible. Because it's saying what they needed to say in order to perform their modern version of discipleship. Okay? And you know what this modern version of discipleship does? It takes away from biblical practices such as soul winning. It puts an overemphasis on relationships and discipleship and not enough emphasis on preaching the gospel. I'm talking about the parachurch ministries, okay? The navigators, if you ever heard of them, which all they do, they don't even have church. They de-emphasize this matter of church and they put all their emphasis on discipleship, and that's all they do, and they don't even go soul winning. And you know what happens when you don't go soul winning? Your gospel presentation dies, okay? Because if you're not out there constantly preaching the gospel, learning how to do it better and better and better, you know what happens? You begin to get into false doctrine. You want to use enticing words like the Calvinist does. So, and by the way, those who are in this discipleship movement, they're lazy is what they are. They're lazy. You know why? Because biblical discipleship requires a lot of work. And the work that it requires is soul winning, spending time with people, helping them to grow in the Lord. But this form of discipleship is, let's go get a coffee, bro. You know, you don't need to go to church on Sunday, man. We'll just meet on Saturday, kick it for a little bit. You know, let's go to Starbucks, get a frap. What do you think this verse means? You know, it sounds funny, but it's fact. I've seen it before, okay? And they did church. I go to Mind Church. Mind Church. Okay, it's ridiculous, but you know what? Baptists are being caught up in this garbage. They're beginning to swallow this crap, and you know what it's doing? It's destroying their soul winning in their churches. Okay, but they're lazy. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. You know, and they like to look at a movement like ours and criticize us because we overemphasize soul winning, which I don't think you could ever overemphasize soul winning. Okay? Every sermon ought to have the phrase soul winning somewhere in there. Okay? You know, and go ahead and make clips of me saying that where I'm just saying soul winning, soul winning, soul winning. Thank you if you do that. Why? Because it's the most important thing. And the Bible says that God has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That's the most important ministry, is soul winning. What have you turned? 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16 says, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." You know the most important thing in Paul the Apostle's life was the gospel. Okay? Because here's the thing. You're going to run into people throughout your life who you're invested in, and they backslide, they get into sin or whatever, and they'll disappoint you. But you know you'll never get disappointed in going out soul winning? Because every time you go, you're successful, whether you win someone or not. Because you're preaching the gospel. So week in and week out, God has created this form of ministry that everyone can be successful at. Okay? Every man, woman, boy, and girl can be successful at soul winning because all it takes is for you to preach the gospel. It's the power of God into salvation. It just requires for you to be a spirit-filled person. And guess what? Whether you win them or not, you're successful. Amen. But guess what? Because you're preaching the right gospel, you will be successful even more and win people to Christ. So there will always be that fulfillment in your life knowing that you're doing that which is right in the sight of the Lord. But you know what happens with this modern form of discipleship is that if they're not following Christ, you get discouraged and you feel like you're wasting your time. Now, let me give you some reasons why. And by the way, the ones who are the men who are responsible for this are not Baptists. The ones who are responsible for this are men like David Platt. By the way, don't look these people up. They're garbage. And if you listen to any one of their sermons, you know, you should listen to if you're having trouble sleeping at night. Because they're boring to listen to. You know, they sit there in their bar stool with their glass pulpit, you know, and try to talk all cool. David Platt is one of them. You say, man, you know, he just sounds so good when he's talking. Yeah, but he's not even saved. Amen. The guy's not even saved. Okay, Bill Hybels, Nelson Searcy, Francis Chan, Ed Stetzer. If you don't know who these people are, don't worry about it, but just know in the back of your head, yeah, if I see a book by this guy, I'm steering clear of these guys. They're not saved. Yeah. Bill Hybels wrote a book about hearing the voice of God. And I said, okay, and I read it, and I'm thinking to myself, well, you know, maybe he's referring to, you know, the Bible and the King James Bible. He's literally talking about hearing an audible voice. And people are flocking to this guy's church by the droves. And he's teaching this wicked false doctrine that you can hear God audibly. And he's teaching all these churches how to do discipleship. Okay? It's wicked. It's not right. These aren't Baptists, but you know what? They influence Baptists all the time. Let me give you someone who he influences. Paul Chappell. Okay? And Paul Chappell is one of the fundamental popes of the old IFB movement. Him, Jack Treber, and the like, they're all these guys who read these books. Okay, you say, "Oh man, you know I have Paul Chappell on my bookshelf." Well, you know what? I'm just telling you the truth. Okay, and if you don't believe that these books change you, go listen to Paul Chappell 10 years ago. How he was ripping on the sodomites and he was ripping on this and he used to preach hard. Well, he's not doing that anymore. You know why? Because of these books. And there was a time when Paul Chappell emphasized soul winning very much. But you know what happened? He got away from the biblical form of discipleship. And what happened? Now he has this liberal church producing homos all the time. Oh, you shouldn't say that. I come from an old IFB church that would go to his church every year for fine arts. Okay? I remember I was there in that library, and I was listening to a guy talk to another girl, and I honestly thought it was two girls talking. I hit the corner. I was like, is this a guy or is this a girl? And I looked at him. He had his eyebrows done. You know, he looked like he got Botox. And I'm thinking, how do they allow this fruitcake in this church? Even in this college. And this is when I used to believe in Bible college. Okay? I was like, I can't believe they allow this fruitcake into this college. But you know what? Reading these books, and let me say this. One thing that these books do is that they de-emphasize church discipline. Because, you know, if you're doing disciple, you got to be patient with people, man. Can't just judge people, but they're in adultery. Hey, bro, chill out with that. We need to give people time to grow. Okay, so just let them commit adultery for the next 2 years. I'm not exaggerating. I saw that. This guy at our old church was committing adultery. He told me, and I said, and he was going to our church for like 2 years. I didn't know this. It was a big church. And then he told me, I said, you're committing adultery. This is a very bad sin. I said, you deserve to be put to death, according to the Bible. I said, I tell you because I love you, but I'm just telling you the truth. He said, can you show me in the Bible? I said, yes. I showed him all the verses in the Bible, and he said, I didn't know this. I got to cut off this relationship. People got so ticked off at me because I did that. The leaders contacted me and said, you have no business talking to this guy. You know, we're discipling him and helping him to come along the way. Well, you know, it's taken you 2 years to tell him something that I told him in 2 minutes. Because you're afraid of offending him. But you know what? One of the and I'm going to give you some dishonorable mentions of the flaws of modern discipleship, but that's one of them right there, is that they de-emphasize discipline. And we have to have balance. I understand that. But the fact is, the Bible clearly tells us, you know, what's a valid reason to boot someone out of the church if it need be. And we need to follow that and understand that his ways are not our ways. We have emotional attachments sometimes with church members, and we love people. But you know what? If we love them, we need to allow God to deal with them according to the discipline of the Word of God. But you know what? We have churches today that think that they're smarter than God. And I say, well, we're not going to boot him out of the church. You know, I know he's involved in fornication, but we're going to help him along that way. How are you going to help him? You know, you allow him to go to the couples class. You allow him to go to the activities. He's a member of the church. You know, and nothing happens. And what happens? A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Okay? But this is discipleship. It's a discipleship that really just kicks God out of the picture and puts their own intellect on the forefront. Okay? It's wrong. But another dishonorable mention is it introduces this concept of cell groups. Okay? Or, you know, small group meetings outside of church. You know what that does? It de-emphasizes the matter of coming to church. Okay? They'll meet at the coffee bean, you know, guys and girls sitting around table and just discuss what this verse means. No, why don't you just come to church to a pastor where he's going to tell you what it means? Instead of you trying to figure out what it means and, yeah, what's your take on this verse? No, why don't you just come to church and Pastor Hernandez will tell you what it means? It'll save you some money from buying the coffee. And you'll get a red-hot sermon out of it. But you know, we have churches today that want to follow that template, okay? And it eventually leads to a watered-down, heretical church in the future. But another dishonorable mention is that it puts fellowship more important than doctrine, okay? Now, let me just say, I love fellowship, okay? I love hanging out with God's people. I think sometimes we fellowship maybe just a little too much because sometimes we're at the church till like 12, just talking. But it's good though, you know, it's good to hang out with God's people. I love it. And I'd rather them be here, right, than out in the world doing something stupid. I'd rather have them have me as a friend than have some, you know, their tías and their tíos who drink, you know, as a friend. I'd rather them understand, you know what, I need to fulfill my desire to fellowship, and so I need to stay in church. That's fine. You can stay as long as you want, you know. But the problem with modern discipleship is this, is that they think fellowship is more important than doctrine. So you know what to do? Their fellowship is longer than even the sermon is, okay? Because they emphasize relationships to the point where it's, you know, the doctrine's not even that important anymore. But here's the thing. Doctrine is far more important than fellowship. Far more important. And if you have the right doctrine, you'll have the right fellowship. You know, because what you believe determines how you behave, right? So if you believe in the Bible, you believe what the Word of God says in regards to fellowship and all these things, you're going to have the right type of fellowship. You're going to have the right type of relationships. So let me get into some other things. Go to Galatians chapter number 1. So what are the flaws of this wind of doctrine? Well, first and foremost, it perverts the gospel. Okay? It perverts the gospel. Look at Galatians 1 verse 6 says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. So here's saying, look, I can't believe you guys are just moved from the gospel that I imparted unto you. And this modern form of discipleship does just that. You say, how do they do it? Well, they do it because when you read these books, They don't use the King James Bible. They use other versions of the Bible. And 99% of these Bibles will render Matthew 28 Verse 19, as go ye therefore and make disciples. So it works great with their books. I remember I was reading the book about discipleship, and I read it, and I kept reading Matthew 28. I said, why are they saying make disciples? It says teach. Why are they saying make disciples? And every discipleship guru that you read, they love using Matthew 28. They'll use 2 Timothy 2:2 from the King James because it says teach, but then they like using Matthew 28 because it says make disciples. I'm a disciple of Christ, bro. You know, I don't really like to consider myself a Christian. I'm more like a disciple, okay? Well, you say, well, what's the problem with that? The problem is Matthew 28, when it says teach all nations, it's talking about giving them, teaching them salvation, okay? It's talking about teaching them the gospel of Jesus Christ, because when you're going out there knocking on doors, they don't know about salvation. They don't know what's the right way to heaven. So what do you got to do? You got to teach them the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You got to teach them what the Bible says about them being a sinner. You got to teach them what the Bible says about hell. You got to teach them that it's not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. You got to teach them that for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. And you have to explain, you have to teach them. But you know what the modern form of discipleship does? You got to make disciples, you know? And then you know what it dips into? This lordship salvation junk. Where if you don't follow Christ, you're not even saved. And let me say this. The reign of Valera in 1960 renders it as haced discípulos, which means make disciples. And all over the country, we have Spanish churches, Spanish independent fundamental Baptist churches that are using the reign of Valera in 1960. And you know what they say? They're telling their congregation, you need to make disciples. And that's the Great Commission. That's wrong. Because look, being a disciple is to follow Christ. So what if you stop following Christ according to their theology? You're not a disciple, you're not saved. Okay? Now, you say, is that really a big deal? Absolutely. You talk to some of these missionaries that are on the field who are supposedly King James only, look at their bookshelf and see what they're reading. Okay, and now we have missionaries that go to the mission field. They're in Southeast Asia. They're in all these other areas. And you know what they want to do? They don't want to do any soul winning. They just want to make disciples. In fact, I remember some student came from this mission field, and he came to the Bible college, and he said, man, you guys do ministry different here. And one of the students said, what do you mean? He said, well, you guys like do soul winning. Like you guys like try to get people saved like right away and stuff. And the student was like, well, how do you do it? And he said, you know, we spent like 6 months talking to like one person, you know, just making sure. 6 months? I mean, are you teaching them Genesis to Revelation? What are you doing? You know, and they say, we just build relationships. We're not for this, you know, just this confrontational soul winning. Yeah, because you're not spirit filled. That's why. Okay? What you want to do is just drop off a track on the door. You know, invite them to a coffee. And I'm not against, by the way, I'm a coffee drinker. Amen. Look, I love Pastor Anderson, but I differ with him on that subject. I'm a coffee drinker, sorry, you know. I use my liberty as an occasion to the flesh to drink coffee. I'm for coffee, but you know what I'm against? I'm against you saying, let's not preach the gospel for 2 hours. Let's just hang out at the coffee shop for 2 hours. And just shoot the breeze and getting nothing done and saying that you're doing ministry. That's wrong. A bunch of lazy fools who have allowed themselves to be influenced by these stinking liberals to just be some lazy fat cats who are doing nothing. Okay? And independent fundamental Baptists all over the country are following these rejects. But they render Matthew 28 just like that. And I remember reading these books and I was thinking to myself, man, This bothers me. Why does it say make disciples? You're not making disciples when you're out preaching the gospel. Go with me to Luke chapter 20. Luke chapter number 20. So as I mentioned, you have to teach the gospel. Look what Luke 20 verse 1 says. And it came to pass that on one of those days, as he taught the people in the temple and preached the gospel, the chief priests and the scribes came upon him with the elders. So it's saying that they taught the people and he preached the gospel. Go to Acts chapter number 14. Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14 and verse number 20. The Bible reads here, howbeit as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed from with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they return again to Lystra, to Iconium, and to Antioch. Go to Acts chapter number 5, and verse number 41. The Bible says here in verse number 41, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Does it say they ceased not to make disciples? Follow me as I follow Christ. No, he's saying teach and preach Jesus Christ. Go to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. In verse number 24. The Bible reads here in verse number 24, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. And I'm going to read to you from Luke 14. You don't have to turn there. Verse 27 says, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So according to their theology, in order for you to be a disciple, to be saved, you have to take up your cross daily. So it goes into this works-based salvation where you could potentially lose your salvation, or what the new phrase is, where you just weren't saved in the first place. You know, those people who, these Calvinists who say, well, we don't believe you can lose your salvation because the Bible clearly teaches you can't lose it, but if someone gets away from the Lord, it just proves that they weren't saved to begin with. Bunch of garbage. Right, by the way, Calvinists are big on this matter of discipleship. Okay, using their NASB and all these HIV modern versions of the Bible to teach this garbage. It happens all the time. Now, what's the second thing that a flaw of discipleship? Well, I mentioned this earlier, but just it's all discipleship with no soul winning is what it is. That's what it emphasizes. You know why? Because discipleship is easy. It's very easy. Hanging out with your brothers in Christ, that's easy to do. It's a joy, right? Now, obviously, soul winning is a joy. But the fact is, not everyone's going to want to go soul winning all the time, right? And there's going to be times when you don't feel like soul winning, or maybe you got some burdens, you got some problems, but you know what? You do it because you're supposed to. And when you start doing it, then the desire comes. But discipleship, that's easy. Talking to my brothers and sisters in Christ, that's easy. Speaking doctrine, that's easy. Okay? But what they do is they emphasize discipleship to the point where they say, yeah, let's not do soul winning. Let's just go eat somewhere. Let's just go hang out. Because the Bible says to make disciples. You know, that's in the Greek, you know. I must hasten because I think I'm running out of time. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. And look, these people need to be called out. You say, oh, you know, I don't agree with you calling out Paul Chappell. You know, he's a good man. If I would tell you all the things that take place at Lancaster Baptist Church, but that's part two. It will take a whole sermon in of itself. In fact, Pastor Ringo Ayala went to West Coast Baptist Church. Go ahead and talk to him after the service, and he'll tell you about his experience there. Okay? Of going to the college where they teach all this theology. You say, man, I thought that was such a great soul-winning church. Isn't it a great soul-winning church? No, they have a name that they're alive, but they're dead. You know, they like to promote soul winning and they say they're KJV only, but you know what? They don't practice it. They don't do any of it. You know what the biggest emphasis at Lancaster Baptist Church is? The music. Okay? And look, you don't believe it. I graduated from Bible college. Don't hate me for it. I'm sorry. Okay? I graduated from a Bible college. While I was in the Bible college, Pastor Jimenez, I was in the tour group. Do you guys know what a tour group is? Does anybody here not know what a tour group is? Tour group is basically a group of singers that go from church to church, and they sing. That's it. So we traveled all summer long to different churches singing. I remember we went to a church that Lancaster, they planted. And the pastor told me, he said this, hey, brother, make sure that when you guys sing, you slide all over the place, because I love that stuff. I was like, I don't even know how to sing. You want me to slide? By the way, sliding is basically singing like the world, using the bedroom voice, you know, trying to be as sensual as possible, all these things. And he literally said, the pastor said this, with his wife there wearing pants. Say, hey, when you sing, make sure you slide all over the place because I love that stuff. He wasn't even ashamed of it, you know. But this is what they're producing. By the way, that church closed down. Big shock, right? Why? Because God cannot bless a work like that. And thank God that thing closed down. You know, and some people say, you know, I can't believe these churches are taking Baptists off their church name. You know what? More should. You know, I'm not sad when a church starts taking Baptists off their name. That just goes to show me you weren't even a Baptist. So good, take that name off your church. Amen. Do a community church if you want. So I know what kind of person you what. So I know what kind of church you are, right. And we make sure we steer clear of you guys. But Lancaster Baptist Church is basically like a community church. There's no difference between the two. Bunch of sodomites and queers at that Bible college, and by the way, Golden State is filled with that too. You say, I can't believe you just said that. I know people who have went to that Bible college and they came out a transvestite. I know a girl who got engaged to a guy there and he said, hey, by the way, I'm a woman. Stinking beast. And they broke off the engagement. She got engaged with some other guy and he came out and said, hey, I'm gay. Strike two. From that same college. Now, on the third one, she got married with the guy. He was a little effeminate, but, you know, I guess better than being a homo, right? You say, oh, I don't agree with you. Look, you know them by their fruits. If that's what they're producing, that's not honorable. Amen. That's not right. You know, and that just goes to show me what kind of leadership they have there. Amen. You know, we need leadership that is willing to rise up and reject all that garbage. Okay? Doesn't matter how cool it looks or how popular they may seem, we need to reject all of it. Okay? And North Valley, they're not necessarily all into discipleship, but they fall into that same category of changing. They're full of covetous people. Okay? Covetousness is evil. Okay? I had a brother-in-law who went there, and the guy, one of their students came up to my brother and said, hey, that's a nice tie. And he looked and he turned around and looked at the label and he said, oh, wait, never mind. You know, I would be fine with maybe like a Bible college if they actually produce gospel preaching, hard preachers, and guys who are willing to go out there and just preach the Bible unadulterated and all these things. But this is what they're producing. That's why I'm against Bible college now. Okay? You say, well, didn't you graduate? Yeah, but you know what? Most of the training that I got was when my pastor sent me to go start a church plant. Being trained in the local church. Okay? Not at some institution where there's a smorgasbord of doctrine being taught by different teachers, okay? And then the student leaves knowing nothing of the Bible or less than what he knew when he came in. So this is the problem with this modern discipleship. It's garbage, okay? And it's a way for Satan to basically creep in under the guise of being something biblical. And what happens, it corrupts the methods, it corrupts the church. And under the guise of being, well, you know, the Bible talks about discipleship. Yeah, but it's the wrong type of discipleship that they're doing. Okay? But not only that, go to Luke chapter 6, please. And I'll finish on this point. This modern form of discipleship fails to produce real soul winners for the Lord. Okay? And I think really that's the agenda of Satan and those who are behind this thing. It's because when you get a church who believes the Bible, they get on fire for God, and they're preaching the gospel, I mean, they take over the world for God. You know, so when you make a marathon, 3,042 people saved in one day. Amen. I don't know if that's the final number from what I heard. That's the final number I heard. That's a lot of people being saved. That's a lot of soul winners going out there doing something great. You know, the modern form of disciple, they're not doing that. You know, for them, they see that and they say, where are they at? You know, where are those 3,000 people? They're probably at their house. It's probably where they stayed. I mean, you know, yeah, but where are they? I could take you to the block that I went to if you want. I'll show you where they're at. You think they just like disappear into thin air? They still exist. Okay. And again, I'm not against discipleship, but you know why they say that? It's because they're not doing the soul winning. So they have to come up with this straw man of, oh, well, you know, yeah, but do you do any follow-up? By the way, I'm not against follow-up. I do follow-up all the time. I call people up. I text people to make sure they're in church. You know, there's babes in Christ that come to church, and sometimes they need someone to just bring them along. You know, remind them, hey, church starts at this time. Do you need me to pick you up? You know, oh, I just woke up. All right, well, I'm going to stop by your house and pick you up real quick. Get ready. You know, if you can't brush your teeth, then don't brush your teeth. We need to go to church. You know, I understand that sometimes we got to bring people along, okay? But this matter of modern discipleship, it fails to produce soul winners because it fails in so many different areas. First and foremost, because they emphasize discipleship to the point where they de-emphasize doctrine. So what happens? The pulpit becomes this place where doctrine is de-emphasized and people aren't growing anymore, okay? They just want philosophy being taught to them, all right? You know what people need? We need doctrine. We need, you know, we need our faces ripped every once in a while. Amen. Okay? We need to be told that we're wrong. That's the best way to grow. Pain is the best teacher. Okay? When someone steps on your toes, when the pastor gets up and starts calling you on the carpet for not being the man in the house, leading your wife, disciplining your kids, and getting a job and being a responsible functioning member, you know, we need to hear things like that. Because you know what it causes us to do? It causes us to be ashamed. How many times has Pastor Jimenez preached from the pulpit and your face just turns red because you know he's talking to you? And you're like, man, I didn't know he knew that. I got to change that. Yeah, go change it. You're not a bad person. Just change it. Come back and you're all right. But you know what? That helps you to grow. Okay, that helps you to grow in the Lord. It helps you to become a better Christian. But the modern form of discipleship, they don't do any of that. You know, they want to just, by the way, this is discipleship right here. You know, these guys want to make sure they have their little cell groups and have all these groups with all these. Well, the discipleship's right here. Amen. And they always say, yeah, but you know, how many people are you disciple? And another trend that we see in this discipleship movement is that they take people out of the church service to go do discipleship outside during church service. The best discipler in the church is the pastor himself, teaching the congregants the word of God. Okay, not using Paul Chappell's book, talking about grace, grace, and more grace. Grace for the pace and all these things about grace. We know about grace. You know, and often what they talk about grace is referring to just go ahead and keep sinning because you know what? We're under grace. We know the grace of God teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. That's what the Bible tells us about grace. And I got off track. Look at Luke chapter 6, verse 43 says, for a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit, the Bible says. Matthew 7:18 says, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Why? Because everything bears after its own kind. And you go through this modern discipleship, you go through these liberal churches that look very big and they look like they're successful. None of them know how to preach the gospel. You know, we got a guy in our church that goes to Rick Warren's church, believe it or not. And when he told me that, I was like, you're going to Rick Warren's church? He goes, yeah, because I go there to preach the gospel. I said, are you serious? He goes, yeah, I go there, and I see a bunch of people saved all the time. And they don't know I'm there because it's such a big church. I just creep in, unawares, and I give them the right gospel. You know, and they get saved. And I wanted to rebuke them, but I didn't know, you know, I was like, well, man, all right, whatever, you know. Hey, did you see them saved? I said, but the preaching's whack over there, I told him. You know, and he says, yeah, but, you know, there's unsaved people there and they actually want to get saved, but no one's winning them, you know. So, by the way, don't do that, all right. Don't go to, I don't know if Rick Warren or some church plants out here. But the fact remains is that they don't do any soul winning. So what is the message today? Because I'm out of time. The message is simply this. You need to do discipleship, but you need to do it right. And look, discipleship begins at home with the man teaching his wife. You know what I'm saying? You know, the wife should know more Bible than the man. Okay? And if you know, and if the wife knows more Bible than the man, then the man needs to step it up and learn more Bible than his wife. You know, my wife is a pastor's daughter, but you know what? Hell will freeze over before she knows more Bible than me. I got saved later on in life. But guess what? I'm the man though. I need to make sure that I know the Word of God more than my wife does. Okay? And that's where discipleship starts, teaching your wife, teaching your children, making sure you're building your credentials at home. And then it spreads out into the church, okay? So do discipleship, but do it right. And make sure you stay away from this modern form of discipleship that's so flawed, that has entered into so many churches, okay? And has corrupted so many people and has made Christians just lazy as the day is long. You know, get back on track if that's you. Start preaching the gospel, do discipleship right, and get away from that garbage. Amen?
Amen?
Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for those who have discipled us in our personal lives. I can think of many people, my father-in-law, my pastor-in-law, my pastor, that taught me biblical concepts, taught me how to be a dad, taught me how to be a husband, taught me how to be a successful Christian. And many of that teaching came with rebuke. It came accompanied with reprovement, but it helped me. And that's the kind of discipleship we really need. You know, I don't remember necessarily too many times when we went out to eat or sat down to have a coffee. It happened, but most of it came from the pulpit. Most of it just came from me just talking to him one-on-one. And I pray that you'd help us to steer clear of this ecumenical, liberal form of discipleship that corrupts the fruit in the church. And I pray that you bless the people here. Thank you so much for Verity Baptist Church. Thank you for Pastor Jimenez. And I pray that you bless the ministry here in Jesus' name.